Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
That's right, the old AlphaTauri.
I'm hot, baby.
We are rolling.
Okay. All right. Michael.
Hi.
I have another little goodie for you today.
Oh, my gosh. You always do such a good job with this, Lily.
Thank you. It is my pleasure. So do you want to tell everyone what I have gotten you
so
today?
So will you tell them what I did? So in my hand is a nice, cold, sugar-free Red Bull. This is actually my preferred Red Bull.
There we go. So maybe AlphaTauri
would be my team.
Your,
I don't know.
Or your preferred Red Bull adjacent team. So
yeah,
we'll find
that's
out.
True.
Okay,
that's true.
Okay, I'm going to crank this
open. You're
going to
crank it open?
Yeah, let's see here. Oh.
It sounds sugar-free.
Sounds sugar-free.
I would have been able to tell that was sugar-free.
So today, as we established with Alpine, mm-hmm. we are comfortably in the midfield
right.
at this point.
Right.
We're in the middle of our season. We're in the middle of the grid.
Mm-hmm.
That does not mean, though, that these teams are boring
mm-hmm.
or that they've got nothing going on.
Mm-hmm.
So today's team, middle of the pack.
Yep.
I would say AlphaTauri's got real younger sibling who's got everything to prove and nothing to lose energy.
Well, are you a tennis fan, Lily?
Yes, for the sake
I
of
mean,
this argument, yes.
Is anybody else a tennis fan? Can I call this the Patrick McEnroe of the Formula One, you know, John McEnroe, Grand Slam champion, super loud, boisterous, got all the attention. Meanwhile, Patrick was a pretty solid tennis player as well.
I had no idea there was a Patrick
there
McEnroe.
There we go!
So
Costa!
Perfect.
Adds color. Ba-boom. Hit the theme.
From iHeartRadio and Sports Illustrated Studios, this is
Choosing Sides. F1.
Okay, so AlphaTauri, as we previously mentioned in our Red Bull episode, they are the sister team to Red Bull. The team nowadays is very, very careful to call it a sister team and no longer a junior team. So they do not want to be seen as lesser than, at least in terms of public persona.
Yeah.
But let's back up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the mid-2000s, as we know, billionaires get bored.
Yep.
And when they do that, they buy sports teams. So our friend Dietrich Mateschitz, founder of Red Bull, buys an F1 team, names it after Red Bull. And then since he seemed to have nothing else to do, he said to himself, what could I possibly want within a year of purchasing this team?
Another one.
Yes. So a year later, or within about a year, Dietrich purchases a Formula One team called Minardi.
It's both the Minardis that have stalled on the grid. The two cars are being pushed off the grid, so they got about as far as the start-finish line.
Which, despite being one of the not greatest teams on the grid, had a humongous and very passionate fan base. He renames it Toro Rosso, which is the Italian phrase for Red Bull.
Super creative.
Very clever. The original idea, though, was that this Toro Rosso team would be like a junior team to Red Bull. So they were thinking, okay, this can be a great training ground for up-and-coming drivers. They can give, you know, them a little bit of an area to prove themselves. We can also kind of test people against each other. And it's just great to have, you know, four seats on the grid instead of two seats.
Right.
So currently, with 10 teams on the grid, Red Bull basically controls 20% of the seats.
It just feels to me like if you're going to be in Formula One, you got to be trying to win.
It's an interesting question with them of, yeah, is there a ceiling to how well AlphaTauri is allowed to do?
Exactly.
Because what would happen if AlphaTauri consistently had drivers who beat Red Bull drivers?
And you can be certain if you're on AlphaTauri, you're like, let's really throw a wrench in this shit and be better than them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so Toro Rosso is the name of this team until 2 years ago or two seasons ago.
Yep.
So it had a lot of really iconic drivers who got their start through Red Bull's junior program and then were funneled into Toro Rosso.
Mm-hmm.
So even just speaking to some of them who are on the current grid, we've got Sebastian Vettel.
Toro Rosso gets its moment in the sun. Sebastian Vettel is a Grand Prix winner for the first time. He's the youngest ever, and that's one of the greatest things I've ever seen in Grand Prix racing.
Current world champion Max Verstappen.
Please welcome the rookie of the year, the flying Dutchman.
Daniel Ricciardo from McLaren.
From Perth, Australia, and I'm 22 years old.
And then also Carlos Sainz.
I think it's my only chance of getting to Formula One, this Toro Rosso seat.
So the interesting thing is that it doesn't mean that when these drivers were on Toro Rosso that the team necessarily did super well.
Mm-hmm.
They've often been somewhere in the midfield, right? So whether that was a little bit higher, like a sixth versus a seventh or eighth in the championship standings.
So why did they switch it to AlphaTauri? What is AlphaTauri?
Yeah, so two seasons ago, they made a change. They got rid of the Toro Rosso name that had been around for about 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is very simple. Red Bull, fun fact, has a clothing line.
Mm.
It is called AlphaTauri.
Ah.
And they decided to use what's basically free advertising space to rename the team. Kind of like Alpine is a Renault brand.
Right.
But Renault said, let's have a better use for the name of this team. And also, it sounds cleaner and fresher. AlphaTauri also, you know, has a little bit of a different flavor than Toro Rosso.
I mean, in America, being an alpha is just, it's not as appreciated like it used to be. Sure, that has nothing to do with their clothing line. I looked at the clothing line.
Oh, yes. I have some photos for
you. Please, show me.
So what's really funny about AlphaTauri is they do have professional models that model a lot of the clothes, but then they'll randomly put in various Red Bull and AlphaTauri drivers and team members to model the clothing. And it's kind of funny to watch these drivers, some of whom couldn't care less about
They probably have to do
model.
This. Yeah,
exactly. It's like contractually obligated.
Yeah.
So here. So I have the current, as of 2022, Red Bull drivers, AlphaTauri drivers, and then a special appearance by a certain team principal.
Well, I know who the team principal is, Christian Horner.
Looking very...
He looks like he's trying to be... He's doing a Zoolander face.
Very Zoolander.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the ones that are the models, I'm going to say are down below.
Oh, all of them are drivers.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, so we've got...
okay, sorry. Yeah, tell me who we got here.
So up in the purple, in the upper left corners, Pierre Gasly, who I think works it the most. Like, he's really trying to Tyra Banks-mize it up.
Yeah, you're right.
Then below him, you have Max Verstappen.
Oh, that's Max Verstappen.
Yeah, poor Max, who you know does not want to be there.
He looks like he's looking for the exit.
Exactly.
Yeah, like he's, where is the exit out of this shoot right now?
Then you have Yuki Tsunoda.
Yep.
They never quite know what to do with Yuki because he's 5'2 and really tiny.
Yeah.
For a while, they kept dressing him in beige, like fully beige outfits, which doesn't look good on pretty much anyone to begin with.
What is his nationality?
He is Japanese. Yeah.
It does seem like they don't know what to do with him.
Yes. And then his haircut is kind of flat. It's weird.
I don't mind the clothes, you know, clean.
I think the straight problem lines, is they're so expensive. Like, yeah, these are, it's Uniqlo, but like $300
yeah,
more.
Yeah, yeah.
And like,
and what's fashion anyways? What's a $300 shirt, a $50 shirt? I don't know.
I think it's just also like, I don't know anyone who necessarily would be like, ah, I need new clothing and I have $700 to spend. Let me go to the Red Bull fashion
right,
collection.
Right.
It's similar to how Ferrari has yes, an atrociously ugly fashion
yes,
collection. Again,
yes,
this is my opinion.
No, but it's okay.
All right, guys, I just wanted to remind you quickly that this is an F1 podcast.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Suck my balls, mate. This is slowly turning into Pardon the Interruption.
Yeah. So yeah. So basically, they, in the early 2020s, switch over to AlphaTauri. And with this, yeah, they really start to hammer home this whole idea of this is a sister team. Mm-hmm. It's a separate entity. It's factories in Italy.
Right.
So yeah. So anyway, back to a little bit of their history. So when they were still Toro Rosso, yeah, they were up until probably 2019. There were a bunch of different like reliability issues at times. Mm. They had some really rough years where you had drivers, you know, having to retire the car in 2/3 of races in some cases.
Wow.
Yeah. Due to issues with the car and not with necessarily the driver all
mm-hmm,
the time.
Mm-hmm.
However, then it wasn't until 2019 they actually start to move up the ranks a little bit. They ended up finishing P6 that year. They then had another P6 finish last season in 2021. And now generally, especially because there are some teams that have really had some bad times, they've kind of moved into being a comfortable midfield team nowadays, or at least that's kind of what they're thought of.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I think AlphaTauri has tried to beef up, especially since their rebrand, and how they're trying to both distinguish themselves from Red Bull while still not pretending that they don't have a connection to Red Bull. They actually have a really, really fun digital presence.
Okay.
So they use the drivers really effectively. For example, on top of the fact that they obviously use them in their marketing campaigns, Pierre and Yuki, the two drivers, do wear AlphaTauri clothes to the track. They also make them do a lot of like video challenges with the Red Bull drivers.
5 o'clock, we're going to meet here in the morning.
So, no, that's a joke, right?
Of course not.
And then they also make them do challenges. Like they had them do a chopstick challenge, I think with like coffee beans or something.
I saw that. What are you doing?
Get out of my room now.
Okay.
Now, close the door. Arigato.
AlphaTauri, I think, is trying to mimic the social media success of McLaren.
That was Ashley Kalita, an F1 Twitch streamer.
And they do a really good job posting the teammates, Pierre Gasly and Yuki Tsunoda, interacting and such. And they definitely have chemistry and they definitely care about each other and want to succeed in Formula One and do well, both of them. And they definitely cheer each other on. So I think they definitely bring that relatability side. Maybe it's not as strongly pushed on social media like McLaren does with their team, but I really think Pierre Gasly and Yuki are onto something.
2-1.
No, it's 2 for me.
No.
I won.
My initial thought would be that AlphaTauri is going for a younger market, but Red Bull is already pretty young, and AlphaTauri clothing is too expensive.
So I don't disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of AlphaTauri this season, things are going not great.
Mm.
They have had reliability issues with the car, as have a lot of other teams on the grid with the new regulations.
Mm-hmm.
They currently, as of the summer break, which we're in right now, so there's no races coming up for a few weeks, they are currently in P8.
Mm.
To, again, contrast that, they were in P6 last year
okay,
when they finished the championship. So obviously, for a team like AlphaTauri that spent a lot of time bouncing around the midfield, they were hoping to maybe spend this time moving up to best of the rest
yeah,
status, or at least really get in there. And instead, they unfortunately are almost relegating themselves to rest of the rest
right,
status, or worst of the rest. They're not quite there yet, luckily, but...
Yeah.
It's not what they want.
It's not looking good.
It's not the best.
Yeah. So who's in charge of AlphaTauri?
Yeah. So they have this team principal. He's been part of the AlphaTauri Toro Rosso brand for a very long time. It's Franz Tost, or Tost, depending on who you ask. He definitely has a bit of a personality, but he's not always the central focus like someone like Christian Horner.
Wait, you're telling me his name is French Tost?
Yes.
Keep that in, please, Yohai.
Okay.
Promise me that you'll keep it in.
Yeah.
Okay, copy.
Sorgai French Tost, despite the name, does not have as much of a presence
yeah,
to the extent. But I think it's because Christian Horner, Helmut Marko from Red Bull are such big personalities
yeah,
that's kind of hard to compete with them.
Yeah.
And then you have people like Toto Wolff at Mercedes, who's also a presence.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of midfield teams where their actual team principals or head honchos are not as... I don't know, they don't have as much of a kind of following just because they're hanging out or chilling or whatever. I will say one of the most interesting things about Franz is back in, or French, if we want to call him that, is back in 2007, there was an American F1 driver at the time with the greatest race car driver name of all time. It was...
Hi, guys. I'm Scott Speed.
Scott Speed.
That's a great name.
It sounds fake, right?
It's perfect.
It's Scott Speed. And Scott Speed alleged 15 years ago that Franz had assaulted him over an incident on the track.
Oh, wow.
Speed claimed in an interview that Tost grabbed him right below the neck on his fireproof shirt and jerked him back and forth, let go, and then pushed him into a wall.
Hmm.
So, of course, Franz Tost completely denies this whole story. Mm-hmm. And regardless, Scott Speed's not having a great time in their car, in the Toro Rosso car, not driving fast. And so soon after the incident, he is fired for low performance.
Yeah.
And, of course, his whole spin on this is that, you know, a almost conspiratorial idea that he hates them. It's terrible working with them. He never wants to work with Franz Tost again.
Right.
So was Scott.
He left the sport quickly.
One could say it was a speedy exit for
Scott
Speed.
That was what we needed. That was what we needed.
But I will say the overall, I think, good thing about AlphaTauri is, you know, they are a team that's sort of known to help funnel in champions, right? Because you have a Sebastian Vettel, you have a Max Verstappen, you have these other guys going further back who are kind of in that similar boat. So I think if you're someone who wants to root for people who could potentially do a lot in the future, they can be sort of a great pick. And also certain people, like to root for midfield teams and don't want to give, all that credit to the guys at the top. Yeah. So.
And it takes a while to become comfortable racing at this level. I'm sure Red Bull sees AlphaTauri as a way to give championship drivers who are very young experience.
Exactly. And also a good time to kind of see, okay, can you handle any form of pressure in F1 without necessarily, which unfortunately Red Bull has done, handing over the car too early to someone unproven in their kind of main stable of drivers.
So who are the drivers? We got French Tost as the team principal. Who's driving the cars?
We have French Fry, who's the person we have in seat number one. And we have Escargot in the other seat. So, we're all
perfect.
Good.
Okay.
We'll get into the AlphaTauri drivers right after this short break.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
All right, we're back from our break, and we are diving right into the two drivers at AlphaTauri. We have Pierre Gasly, mm-hmm. and then we have Yuki Tsunoda. Two very different drivers, mm-hmm. but they do get along very well. Mm-hmm. So let's start with Pierre Gasly. As you can probably tell from a name like Pierre, he is French.
Yep.
Very French.
Yep.
So Pierre comes from a family that has been in motorsports in some way or another, not F1 level, but his grandfather competed in karting. His grandmother was actually a karting champion.
Grandmother?
Grandmother.
Fun Sick. Fact.
Feminism. Love to see it.
Yeah.
His father dabbled in a number of different motorsports. So he did like karting, rallying, endurance racing. So he's kind of jumped around. Mm. Pierre's also the youngest. He has, I think, 4 or 5 half siblings who are older than him. So he's kind of the youngest of the bunch. But basically, he takes up karting, is successful, moves on to the junior formulas. He ends up winning. So he's, you know, he's well on his way. He's also competing against drivers like Charles Leclerc, who is from Monaco, but obviously races a lot in France, as well as Esteban Ocon. They grew up 45 minutes from each other growing up. They've spent their lives competing against each other just because they're literally from the same area of France. So Pierre makes his Formula One debut back in 2017 for Toro Rosso, what it was called then, and ends up racing full-time for the team through 2018. Things are looking good. He's looking promising, you know, getting his sea legs, so to speak. He had a couple of very impressive qualifyings in his first full season.
Right.
He had a P4 in there, a P6, a P7. So in some cases, he is out-qualifying the machinery that he's been given.
Yeah.
Pierre Gasly, the young French driver, absolutely unbelievable. Fourth position.
Unbelievable. Congrats, guys.
Now, granted, he would often lose places in the actual race, you know, because the car just can't keep mm-hmm. that pace over mm-hmm. an extended period of time. But the fact that everyone agreed he was way over qualifying the car, like what it should have been, which only speaks to his talent.
Yeah.
But as we know, 2018 for Red Bull, this cataclysmic thing happens where Daniel Ricciardo surprises them by not re-signing.
That's right.
And as we know from that episode as well, Daniel Ricciardo leaving creates another sort of domino effect of other things that end up happening. One of which is that Red Bull didn't really have a successor to Daniel Ricciardo at this point, mm-hmm. but had also made it very clear to everyone that Max Verstappen was their guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it led to this bizarre void to be filled by his absence. Also, Daniel Ricciardo is a huge personality, as we've discussed.
Yep,
so
yep.
they're kind of trying to figure out what to do. This was, you know, several years ago. Pierre's in his early 20s. So they end up saying, hey, let's call him up, despite the fact that, you know, he'd only competed in his second season of the sport. And unfortunately, he ends up crashing and burning spectacularly.
You've got to say, only one side of that garage is consistently delivering at the moment. Pierre Gasly qualified 6/10 off his teammate. Gasly finished P11.
There were a lot of races where Max was lapping him.
That's terrible.
He just got absolutely walloped by Max in the standings. Yeah, it was bad.
He's got to unlock that part of him that we know is capable of bringing home better results.
He ends up only completing 12 races before Red Bull yanks him from the seat. and demotes him back down to the then Toro Rosso team.
That's humiliating.
Yeah, really harsh. And on top of that, a big issue that's come up since then in retrospect is people feel like the car was much more tailored to Max's strengths than Pierre's. So if you're Pierre, you're a very talented driver. You just don't drive like Max. So if you're in a car that is not made for you, it is very much made for your biggest competitor, you know, your teammate, you're really setting someone up to fail.
Max is, you know, he's a rocket ship, and his, whatever they call the, like all the fire and all the smoke that comes out of the back of the rocket, it's too big.
Yeah.
Whatever's around is just going to get sucked up into Max, you know? So I wouldn't want to drive under Max.
Yeah. So Pierre is in this tough position. Obviously, it's devastating and humiliating to be demoted, not just demoted in general, but halfway through a season.
Yeah.
That's pretty, pretty bad.
Yeah.
And then to make matters worse, he's back at Toro Rosso, and his best friend, Antoine Hubert, was a very promising driver in Formula 2. Antoine Hubert dies.
Oh my God.
In a race in Belgium. This is during also an F1 race weekend. So Pierre is there at the track.
Jesus.
It's incredibly sad.
This is bottom. I mean, there's career bottom, and then there's death. This is a new level.
Yeah, entangling personal and professional tragedy. Yeah, in the span of a few weeks.
We lived in the same flat for 5 years. We went to the same school. We're in the same classroom. I've just known these guys since so long. We shared so many moments on track and off track especially. Honestly, I still can't believe it.
He actually wrote a really extensive personal essay on the internet and about the experience. But basically, one of the last conversations he had with Antoine was about his demotion. And Antoine kind of told him, you know, keep going, prove them wrong, like you've got this. Mm-hmm. So obviously, he's devastated that his friend has died, but also feels really motivated. Interestingly, we actually talked to another driver for this podcast, Tatiana Calderon. So she was Antoine's teammate when this accident happened. And she said something very similar to Pierre, because I sort of posed the question of, well, did watching your teammate die make you fear racing more or whatever? Mm-hmm. And her and Pierre are actually very similar in terms of saying,
for me, it opened as well my mind. I respect what I do much more now. I'm not afraid of it. I think, you know, I was maybe not enjoying it as much as I should because of the pressure that I was putting myself. That reminded me that what the most important thing is. If unfortunately I end up dying in an accident or whatever, I know that I'm doing what I love most. You have to be able to do what you love most, to be happy, and we'll see how much we get to stay in this world doing that.
That's a beautiful delusional mind that you need to be a world-class driver.
Race car driver, yeah. Oh, yeah, big time. So anyway, after this happens, he does start to improve back at Toro Rosso AlphaTauri.
Yep.
And eventually, actually, in 2020, it's really exciting.
Pierre Gasly is in front for the AlphaTauri.
He ends up winning his first ever Grand Prix.
Gonna win in 2020 as AlphaTauri. Pierre Gasly wins the Italian Grand Prix. Oh my, oh my.
AlphaTauri had a couple of podiums and obviously points to their name, but this was their first win. So this was a very big deal.
That's big.
On multiple fronts.
And wasn't it extra big because it was in Italy?
And it was in their home Grand Prix. So it's just, yeah, it's just one of those feel good stories.
Oh my God. What did you do?
What did we do?
Yeah, like,
that was
like
great.
He's like, you can see him like, you know, pumping his fists and he's so excited.
Oh my God. Oh my God, guys, we did it again. Oh my God, yes. P1, yeah. P1.
That was a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything about this sport, but when they show you the driver and you get to hear the audio of when they win, it doesn't matter if you know anything or not. It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
It's awesome.
For me, the driver that gives me the most excitement is somebody like a Pierre Gasly.
You're hearing from Magnus Greaves, co-founder and publisher of Race Weekend.
He always has the potential to do better than anybody anticipates that he's going to do given the car that he's in. And he seems to really appreciate a great result. And also, you want to see Pierre Gasly get another chance on a big team. If you want to just cheer for somebody who could win, you're limiting yourself to a pool of about four or five of the 20 drivers. You need to understand the story of that person. You need to understand where they're coming from and where they're trying to get to, because you need to be able to cheer for somebody when they finish fifth and get as much joy as somebody else finishing first.
So, Pierre, nice guy. Everyone likes him. That can't be the whole story, Lily.
That's he not
must
the whole
story. He must have some controversy. He must have some dark secrets.
The biggest problem with Pierre in his career, so he's reached 26, the age of 26. Mm-hmm. It's basically middle-aged in the sport of F1, which is sad to say, mm-hmm. and making me feel very old.
Yeah.
And the problem he has is this. So obviously he got promoted to the Red Bull seat. He tanked mm-hmm. in the Red Bull mm-hmm. seat. Mm-hmm. Helmut Marko, the very brash advisor and kind of, you know, person in charge of all the driver development, has made it clear that Pierre is most likely never going to get back in that seat. Mm. So if you're Pierre, you're asking yourself, okay, I'm stuck on this sister team that's kind of the junior team that basically has a ceiling to how well they're going to do, but I've also been a Red Bull driver my entire career. Where can I go from here? So that's, I think, what he's dealing with right now. And there's been a lot of questions and speculation.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, he is kind of stuck.
If Pierre has self-belief, which I think he does, someone's going to pick him up. Also, fuck that guy who says he's never going to get in a Red Bull seat again. If he keeps winning races at AlphaTauri, maybe he'll say, I don't want your dumb Red Bull seat. I want my AlphaTauri seat. Thank you very much.
I will say, too, that the AlphaTauri team loves Pierre. Like, they are, like, one happy family with Pierre.
Right.
He loves the guys, like, everyone on the team. You know, so it's like, oh, it's going to be painful when he has to part with them.
Right.
But hope, I think the hope by a lot of people is that he ends up somewhere better.
Right.
Or where there's actually a career trajectory that isn't just in a holding pattern.
Right.
You know, perpetually. Holding pattern.
Right.
You know, perpetually.
Yeah.
Perpetually.
Yeah.
Holding pattern.
Right.
Perpetually.
Yohai?
Perpetually.
So who's this other driver?
Other driver. We've got Yuki Tsunoda, who in 2022, sophomore season.
This guy is not a tall man.
He is barely not a boy,
right.
And he is not tall.
Right. I don't want it to sound like short was a derogatory term, because it's not, but he isn't tall.
Even by F1 standards, he is short.
Yes.
So just to recap here, most drivers are between 5'7 to 5'10, usually 5'8, 5'9 maybe. In the tallest drivers, there's a couple who are 6 foot, 6 foot one, but they are very skinny and kind of lanky,
mm-hmm.
a la Esteban Ocon or George Russell. On the other end of the spectrum, I think the next shortest driver is like 5'6, and then you've got Yuki at 5'2. And he's so short to the point where they actually had to, like, re-engineer the car so that his feet could actually touch the pedals, because
he's got to sit on a phone book?
Basically, yeah.
I'm excited to hear about this guy, because we haven't had a lot of non-white mm-hmm. European men who drive a race car.
Yes. And it's been a little bit since they've had a Japanese driver in particular. And I will say, there's a huge Japanese fan base for
F1. I would think.
His ascent to Formula One has been very quick, which means he's been pretty good.
Ashley Kalita again.
So from, I believe, Japanese F4 to Formula One, I think it just took him over 3 years. And when he arrived in 2019 and started racing around Europe, he had no knowledge of the circuits, which track information is everything. So the fact he's been doing so well and the minimal amount of experience, quote unquote, he has comparatively to the other drivers on the field with him, he has placed very impressively, in my opinion.
In addition to being a very talented member of the Red Bull Young Driver program, something else that's helpful is that at this point, we've talked about Honda before and how Honda is mm-hmm. the LOLJK mm-hmm. manufacturer and constructor of Formula One. They're
right.
in, they're out,
right.
They're,
right.
they're supplying engines, they're actually in the sport, they're out again. So as of late, they have been supplying engines to Red Bull. And so Honda kind of says to Red Bull, hey, we're besties, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a Japanese driver, and we're a Japanese company. And wouldn't it be great if you gave this seat to this nice
right.
man
right.
who is from Japan? And there's always controversy whenever something like that happens, because always other drivers who people wanted to see in F1 who did better than him who then don't get a seat. And but yeah, so basically it does help. The, you know, the stars align, so to speak, that Yuki happens to be coming up through Formula 2 and does well at a time when a company like Honda has a little bit of pull, right?
Yep,
and
yep.
it's with the program that he's in Red Bull. So Yuki rookie season 2021. It was a little inconsistent. So his first race, his debut race in Formula One, he gets P9.
You did a fantastic race. Fantastic race. We are going to have fun this year. Slow down.
So he gets 2 points. It's very exciting. Yeah, everyone's like, oh, that's great.
That's great.
Yeah. However, he just starts having a little bit of trouble.
We have our first spinner here, Yuki Tsunoda. Never been to this track before.
He starts spitting out a lot. He starts crashing quite a bit. And some of this is expected with rookies. You know, what happens.
Yep.
I mean, it's impossible to go rookie season without spinning out a couple times.
Yep.
Or just getting the feel for the car. You know, Formula One cars aren't even the same as Formula Two, right? Like, there's just such a big learning curve when you make that jump up. So that's expected to a certain extent. But on top of everything else, he's kind of rude on the radio to his race engineer during races and cursing a lot and just being kind of rude.
So Yuki is definitely not the main character, which is unfortunate.
Fucking cunt.
But he's definitely, I'm trying to think of like relevant side characters that have taken over TV shows. And you're really like, wow, maybe they should be the main character. And I really think that's Yuki with the experience he has. And maybe he has had a lack of consistency in 2021. However, he's definitely shown plenty of moments where he can compete with the top dogs.
Is he, forgive my ignorance on this, is he speaking English with his with his race team?
Okay. Yes. Okay. So everyone has to speak English when it comes to race communications.
Okay.
Yeah, I think to keep everything standardized and, you know.
So they can hear what the hell's going on.
Exactly.
Right.
And on top of that, though, he's talked about this. He really struggled, especially in the pandemic. You know, Japan had a lot of lockdowns and whatnot. It was very hard to get back home. He dealt with a lot of homesickness. And he's been away for a while from home. And at this point, you know, he's 20 years old. So he's been away from home for several years. You know, he does speak English, but there is somewhat of a language barrier.
Sure.
There's also going to be, you know, barriers in terms of customs and how different, you know, the West does things versus the East that he has to deal with. On top of all this, he does have some issues with, like, discipline.
Mm.
There's actually, like, a scene in Drive to Survive season 4 when he makes his first appearance on the show. Obviously, it's his first season where basically he's complaining about having to just, like, run, like, do a normal training run. And that's kind of just generally with the, he's even joked about this, how he's like, oh, I'd rather lie down and like eat a sandwich than go exercise, which, you know, it kind of doesn't work for certain people. But I will say on the flip side, Yuki is a very fun and wacky personality.
Yeah.
He wears his heart on his sleeve and is brutally honest with the press.
Is there more sort of expectation from Helmut and Diddy?
With Helmut, we're going to speak this afternoon at 8 p.m. and I don't think it's going to be a fun conversation between us.
Sometimes the team's like, Yuki, you can't say that out loud.
Right.
Or even a lot of his dynamic with Pierre. Pierre's almost like an older brother to Yuki. And half the time, Yuki will say something inappropriate, not problematic, just inappropriate or bizarre.
Right.
You know, Pierre's like, Yuki, you can't do that. Like, you absolutely need to be quiet. They've probably put him through endless media training and he's still going to say what he's going to say.
Never
in a necessarily always a rude way, but just he'll just be really, really upfront with you.
They have a good rapport.
Yeah, they have a very good rapport. I think it does help that Pierre is so well established on that team and he is the number one. But in the same sense, Yuki is a rookie, right?
Yeah.
And he just came on. So I think that there's not this feeling of resentment or whatnot from that dynamic.
Quick break and we'll be back.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
So that's AlphaTauri. I would say for Pierre, you know, I think Pierre's kind of getting this reputation as like the comeback kid,
yeah,
right? Like
yeah.
really was down in the dumps, yeah. had a lot of personal and professional yeah. tragedy at the same time and yeah. has not only risen above it, but totally slayed the game in the process.
Pierre, I like very, very much. I love anybody who gets pushed aside for some other new young hotshot and he has to kind of get some grit. He has some adversity in his past. True adversity, death.
And then we've got Yuki.
You know, I'm a little bit afraid that Formula One sees Yuki as this odd Asian entity that we don't know what to do with. And even some of the videos, it was kind of like, look at him trying to do the funny thing.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that might just be because he's so young and they don't know what to do with, you know, mm-hmm. like it almost seems like gimmicky.
A little alienating.
A little
and
alienating.
Sometimes a little racist
sometimes
at times.
Sometimes you're like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So my hope is that Yuki kind of keeps his head down and doesn't let that shit bother him
mm-hmm.
and then just wins on the racetrack.
Yeah.
I haven't seen enough to say that about Formula One, but it just feels like maybe they don't really know how to embrace who he is yet.
Yeah.
It's easy to see the cute face. As an American, a Western, we see Japanese and we kind of like don't really know what it means. And it's like, what is this thing over here? But at the end of the day, it's like, if he's a bad motherfucker in the race car, that's awesome.
I mean, his racing's been a little inconsistent. Some yeah. days he's brilliant. Other days, yeah, yeah. he's crashing into a wall yeah. multiple times yeah. in a weekend. But I think he does bring a very different personality
yeah.
and kind
yeah.
of a different style about him.
Yeah.
And he is, yeah, he's so young. Like he was 20 when he came in, right?
Yeah.
He can barely legally drink in the U.S. So.
And when you're a rookie and they say jump, you just have to say, how high.
Yeah.
You
well,
can't
especially
be like,
when, when your teammate is Pierre Gasly,
yeah.
who had just come off a win, the
right.
first win on the
right.
team's history
right.
in this like incredibly, you know, epic fashion. Like that's your teammate. You got to kind of roll
yeah.
with it a little bit
yeah.
and play into the fact that, you know, he's the guy.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about AlphaTauri? How do you feel?
I like AlphaTauri a lot. I like
mm-hmm.
the colors. I like the logo. Their car looks fast. You know, my least favorite part of AlphaTauri is
mm-hmm.
that they're part of Red Bull.
Yeah.
If you told me this was a separate team, I'd be like, I think I'm all in on this team.
Yeah.
It's like, I love my friend Paul. He's funny. He has a good sense of adventure. He always makes me laugh. His wife. You know what I mean? It's like AlphaTauri. I just wish it would become its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if AlphaTauri started winning, Red Bull would like secretly change up their wrench box so it has the wrong tools or something. That's just how I feel about it.
I wouldn't put that above Christian Horner or Helmut Marko
yeah.
to do themselves.
I mean, if Yuki Tsunoda is making $500,000 a year and Max is making $25 million, that means in the organization, Max is seen as 50 times the worth of Yuki. That's a huge difference.
Yes.
If I was Yuki, I would crash my car into Max.
Yuki has done that with most of the grid,
had
a little bit of a rookie season.
I like AlphaTauri. I like AlphaTauri.
And where do they stack in your overall? Where are they?
I would say they're a top three for me.
Ooh,
isn't that interesting?
On the podium.
Yeah, Ferrari's still up there. I like Alpha.
Well, it's Williams, of course. We haven't even talked about.
Yeah, might be. Well, I was going to say, have we talked about Williams yet? No, we haven't. But yeah, I don't know. For some reason, they're connecting with me.
Yeah.
Watch the rubbing of the pants.
Sorry. Who's this other person's voice that I only occasionally hear, not as often as Yohai, but...
Yeah, so that's our sound engineer, Rob, who I know you were supposed to be the only non-F1 person coming into the sport.
Right.
Hilariously, Rob was just, you know, assigned to deal with us in the studio.
from a technical standpoint.
Yeah, but he has become a massive F1 fan over the course of this recording.
Definitely.
Rob, you've had some disagreements with some of Michael's opinions
on the
sport.
Some of his driver opinions.
Oh, God. What is this, my Twitter page all of a sudden?
I like Esteban Ocon.
Oh, why? Why do you like Esteban?
I think he hasn't had his time yet. And I think there's an opportunity for him to have his time. And I think it'd be cool to see.
I strongly disagree with Rob. And I think there's a reason that he works in the audio booth and not sitting where I'm sitting.
Wait, so who do you not like, Rob?
Checo.
Really? I've said this before, but... we connect with people for certain reasons. And the thing that I love about Checo is he's a father of three now.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing more selfless and humiliating than being a parent. You know, like you're just constantly faced with your mortality and how unimportant your personal life is. All of that is the opposite of what it takes to be a Formula One driver. So I just find that dichotomy so fascinating that he probably goes home and is the fifth most important person in his house. And then he goes to the racetrack and, even though he's behind Max, he has to act and behave and have the ego of I am the best driver on this course. I find that fascinating. I have no idea who this guy is in real life. He could be a total prick. I don't know. And there's more dads in the racetrack, right?
Yeah, we're going to talk about a very exciting one next episode.
Great.
Yeah.
Anyways, Rob, turn your microphone off from now on, okay?
Loud and clear.
So next time, we're going on to the third team in the midfield with an A name, Aston Martin.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure you will have thoughts and opinions just by, you know, the association with the name Aston Martin. Aston Martin is one of my favorite teams to talk about in the sense that at the beginning of the season, we talked about how F1 is a billionaire's playground. I would specify that playground is mostly Aston Martin drama.
Right.
We're going to get into a lot of...
Can't wait.
Yeah, a lot of billionaires who've done a lot of not great things. We've got a terrifying looking owner of the team. Mm. We're going to really dive into this term of pay driver that we've kind of thrown around. So
yeah, I mean, everything that I've heard about Aston Martin on the surface is ripe for some strong opinions.
Yeah. If you've ever wanted to eat the rich, you want to eat Aston Martin. So it's going to be a great, fun, very rich time to be had.
Great.
All right. Anything else, Yohai, before we...
I think we can wrap.
All right.
Thank you.
You
Thank
too.
You.
All right.
I'm jumping in a lot. It's been a week.
Okay. This has been Choosing Sides F1, a production from Sports Illustrated Studios and iHeartRadio. The show is hosted by Michael Costa and Lily Herman. This episode was produced by Lily Herman and our senior producer, Yohai Mattel, who is also the sound designer. At the Cutting Room Studios, we recorded with engineer Robert O'Leary. Mastering by Sella Weisblum. Max Miller is the executive producer, and Brandon Getchis is head of audio at SI Studios. At iHeartRadio, Sean Tytone is our executive producer. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to rate and subscribe, and tell your friends to choose a side. That was kind of crazy. I, like, got in. I got in the flow. I might start a podcast tomorrow.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.